The following sermon was preached Lord's Day morning at Grace Reformed Church by Pastor Gary McNamee. For more resources like these audio sermons and other Reformation-era study helps, please visit our website at gracerpcna.org. Now listen in as we continue our study of the book of Ephesians, where we learn from Christ the wisdom of God to you.
Bibles now and turn to the book of Ephesians. Chapter 5, and we will read verses 1 to 17. Ephesians 5, verses 1 to 17, and our focus this morning will be on verses 15 to 17. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let not it even be named among you, as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we do thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for making us your children, for loving us and adopting us into your family, and giving us, Lord, your grace. We pray, Father, that you would also help us as we hear your word preached now, to hear it as the light of Christ, and let it shine upon us, Lord, exposing our sin, showing us the path of wisdom that we should take in following you. We thank you, Lord, for giving to us your Son, Jesus Christ, who is your wisdom to the church. Work now in our hearts, Father, through your preached word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, for several weeks now, we have been looking at the walk which the Spirit of God has called us to in Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapters 1 through 3, we learned who we are in Christ and what God has done for us and to us. Ephesians 4 to 6 are now teaching us how to live out that wonderful salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. How to live out our adoption as sons. How to live out our redemption. And how to live as people who have the Holy Spirit of God as our seal and guarantee. That's what Ephesians 4 and the following chapters and verses are all about. This is how you are to live out your salvation. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 16 calls us to walk in the unity that we have and to keep working and endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verses 17 to 13 called us to put on the new man and to walk as the new man that we are created in Jesus Christ. And then in 5 verses 1 and 2, we see the call to walk in love toward one another as God has loved us. Because we are His dear children. The church. We are His dear children. And we are to walk in love towards one another. And last week we saw in verses 3 to 14 that because we have the light of Jesus Christ, because His light has shone upon us, His people, that we are called to walk in that light and not in darkness, especially as it pertains to sexual purity. We are to walk in light and not in darkness. And all these callings of God come upon our life, and because they are based on present realities in your life. God is not calling you to do something that is unnatural. Yet He is calling you to do something that is supernatural. And the supernatural is that He has given to you His Son, Jesus Christ. He has given to you His Holy Spirit, in which He dwells in you and walks with you. And so you have these things, and you are now called to walk according to them. That's what Paul is talking about here. See, if you have the Spirit of God in you, then you should expect to see the fruit of the Spirit coming out of you. But if the fruit of evil or the fruit of darkness is coming out of you, then you should not think that you have the Spirit of God in you. Folks, that's a reality that we live in. And that's exactly what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 7, verses 15 to 20, when He was talking about false prophets and said, "You shall know them by their fruits." He was making that application to them. But the principle that He was working was based upon His words there, where He said, "Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. It is not in the tree. It is what it is by its nature. And so are you. And if you are in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a new nature. You are a new creation. You are a new man, woman, boy, or girl, and you are to walk like that new person that Christ has made you." And so it is here in verses 15 to 17. We are now hearing a call to walk as wise people, because we have been given the wisdom of God in Christ Jesus. I want to say something to you that I really want you to get today. That if you are in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the wisdom of God. You have it. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 24 to 30. "But to those who are called," speaking of those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ, "both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. That no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." At the very time that God has given you His righteousness and sanctified you and redeemed you in Christ Jesus, He has given you His wisdom in Christ Jesus. So now, as you grow in Christ Jesus, and as you grow in your understanding of His Word and application of it to your daily life, you grow in that wisdom. But you have it. You who are in Christ have been given God's wisdom in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have what you need to make wise decisions and to walk wisely. Yes, we do grow upon that wisdom as He shows us more and more of Himself and more of ourselves. And our dependence upon Him, we grow. But we do have in Christ the wisdom of God. And as I mentioned when we read Proverbs 8, we noticed that there were very personal pleas there in Proverbs 8. And there was this sense that a person named Wisdom was talking to us. "I, Wisdom, cry out to you. Listen to me, Wisdom. I, Wisdom, was there in the beginning before God ever created anything. I was with Him." Wisdom calls out to us as a person, making personal pleas to us to hear wisdom and to follow it. And wisdom is a person. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have been given Christ. So none of us who are in Christ can say, well, I didn't know what to do. I don't have the wisdom for this. James even tells us if we are in need of wisdom, to call out to God by faith and He will give it to us. And that indicates to us we don't have all the wisdom there is right now because we don't need all the wisdom there is to deal with every situation until we come to those situations. But when we need wisdom, it is there for us. And we are to call for it and to ask for it by faith without wavering. And God will give it to us. But in Jesus Christ, we have the wisdom of God. We start right there. Wisdom in Proverbs 8 spoke to us as a person. And it is in Jesus Christ. Romans 16:27 says this, to God, who alone is wise, be glory forever through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Isaiah 11 verses 1 and 2. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and as a branch shall grow out of his roots, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. That's what you have been given in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's no small matter. Because it calls you to account. It obligates you to walk in wisdom. To walk in the light that has been shown to you in the Lord Jesus Christ. It obligates you, but it also empowers you that you can walk wisely. In verse 15, the first thing we see that is in Christ's light, we are called to see and walk carefully. As we read verse 14 where it says, therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. If you are in Christ Jesus, you have been given that light. And now then, in verse 15, you are called, Paul says, see then. Because you have the light, see. That you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. This week, my brother Bruce visited me. He's from Philadelphia, and he's on his way to pick up Hope. Some of you have been praying for Hope, and he picked her up and they took her to Alabama where she's now going to be going to school. Before they left, we prayed with them and for Hope and them. But we also prayed about their travel from here to Tuscaloosa. And why do we do that? You often pray for people when they're getting ready to go on a journey, don't you? Why do we pray for people in that way? Because there are dangers out there. And they need to be aware of them. Because there are dangers sometimes that we don't even see. And that night, they were leaving about 8:30. And it was dark and it was rainy. And they were going to be on the roads and the highways from here to Eldon and into Alabama. But there are also other dangers besides just travel itself. The road surfaces, animals, and fools. Fools are on the road. Fools are out there driving. And it is these foolish drivers that you must really be aware of, because you can't predict what they're going to do. If I see an animal on the side of the road, if I see a deer, if I'm able to see it before I hit it, but I see him, I know what that deer is thinking about. He's thinking, can I make this road crossing before that car, whatever that is coming at me? Can I make it? I kind of know their habits, but I don't know all the habits of a fool. They're very unpredictable. We don't know what they're going to be doing. We don't know what they are doing while they're driving. They could be distracted. They could be looking at something like a phone, or they could have been drinking and now driving, or they could be going too fast around a curve. And life is like this too. There are dangers in this world that are all around us. Physical dangers that we as human beings create and bring upon ourselves, but there are also dangers because there are fools and folly and foolishness all around us every day. They are those people who are not heeding the words of Proverbs chapter 8. So Paul says, in verse 15, see then. In other words, watch out. Beware. Which is to see and observe what is around you. He says, watch out, take heed, be aware that you walk circumspectly. Which means to walk carefully or accurately. It can mean both. And we could say you should carefully walk accurately. Because of foolish people and foolishness, and because of our own folly, we are called to walk carefully. And we have to be careful using our spiritual vision that we have been given in Christ Jesus to see foolishness and to avoid it, to see the errors and consequences of foolishness and what they bring us. And that's what Proverbs often does. It tells us, here's the fool, and here are the consequences. Here's the wise person, and here are the blessings, and here are the consequences. So we have to be careful. We have to do what Paul says here. See then that you walk circumspectly. Be aware of foolishness and folly. And you see to it that you walk not as fools. Be careful and walk accurately. Colossians 2, 6 and 8 tells us this. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware, exact same word that Paul uses here in verse 15 of see then, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. See that comparison? Beware of those things. Beware of people teaching philosophy, false teaching, empty deceit, not according to Christ. When Jesus was telling parables, the disciples said, why do you speak to these people in parables? And in regards to those Jews who were not believing, He said to them, I do this so that they will not hear and will not understand. And then in Matthew 13, verses 16 to 17, He tells His disciples, His covenant people, how blessed they are, for they do see and they hear. And He said to them, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. What a blessing it is for us as God's people that when He speaks, we can hear it, we can see it, and we can understand it, because we have been given the wisdom of God. We have been given the Spirit of God to understand these spiritual things which a carnal man cannot understand. So Paul says, see then that you walk accurately. He follows that up in the middle part of verse 15, which is our second point. In Christ's light that has been shown upon us, we are not to walk as fools. Walk carefully, not as fools. In order to understand this instruction, we need to know how fools walk. If somebody says, don't do like that person does, I need to know what that person is doing. Martin Lloyd-Jones gives a few characteristics of how the fool walks by saying he walks by feelings alone. He makes decisions in his life by how they make him feel. I was talking with a man just last night. In the course of a 30-minute conversation, he said, I feel. Well, this is how it makes me feel. And so I'm going to do this. Feelings are real. We cannot deny that. But the wise person does not make decisions based on feelings alone. Secondly, he says that a foolish person walks by desires. He makes decisions based on what he wants. And if he wants it, and since he wants it, it must be good for him. The foolish person walks by impulses. They're not based on information or knowledge, but just something happened. I like it, so I'm going to do it. We all have maybe experienced impulse buying at times, where we walk in the store to get one thing and we come out with five things because we saw it, we wanted it, we thought it made us feel good, and so we took it. We bought it. Though we had no plan to do it. But the impulse, it attracted us. It stirred us up. And now we wanted it. The foolish person also walks by zeal. They see something they want to do and they rush in to do it. And because it's such a passion in them, because they like it so much, and it looks so good, and feels so good, then it must be right. And so they think, I have to do this, and I will do it, because I really want it, and I'm really zealous for it. And so I make my decision based on that. Without considering all the consequences. We might say of these people, as has been said, they rush in where angels fear to tread. Most fools think for the moment, but they don't think for the next moment or what may be needed for the days ahead. What do these foolish descriptions remind you of? A child. Proverbs 22:15 tells us that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. A child does not know what he does not know. He does not know the speed of a car driving down the road, so he may walk in front of a moving car. He cannot gauge, he cannot understand how fast that car is moving, how dangerous it would be to him. A child does not know that a tiger, though it may look big and pretty, will be deadly to him. A child does not know the consequences of sin and must be taught these things. This is the rod of correction from 22:15 Proverbs that will drive foolishness from him. Well, God gives us plenty of examples of fools, and they have spiritual implications regarding how we walk. And I know you are familiar with some of these examples. When Jesus told the parable of the wise builder and the foolish builder in Matthew chapter 7, you know this story. The wise man builds his house on the rock so that when the torrential rains come, it stands. That's the wise man. The foolish man builds his house on the sand so that when the torrential rains come, his house is washed away. And why did Jesus bring up such a simple story? Because people were fooling themselves into thinking that they knew God when they didn't. And fooling themselves into thinking that though they were practicing lawlessness, which is sin, that God would accept them anyway. And that is foolish. Jesus told this parable to show them the difference between those who hear, believe, and do, and those who hear, do not believe, and do not do. Whenever you go against the wisdom or the word of God, you are acting foolish and you will suffer the consequences. We can go to the ant as another example in Proverbs chapter 6, a commonly used passage for saving money and planning ahead, which is a good application and use of this passage, but there is more. There is much more here. There is also the spiritual poverty of being a sluggard about your life in the Lord. The great contrast here is that the ant doesn't have a supervisor or an overseer telling him what to do, but yet he doesn't. But you have an overseer. You have been given the wisdom of God in Jesus Christ. You have the Word of God teaching you all that you need for faith and life. All that you need for faith and life. That's what the Word of God is to you. The wisdom of God in Jesus Christ. When you are under the preaching of the Word of God like you are right now, are you thinking you'd rather be somewhere else? Are you thinking that somewhere else there's something more valuable for me? Or do you realize what God is giving to you right now? His precious Word. Knowledge of His precious Son, Jesus Christ. Wisdom to live a life that glorifies Him. Other scriptures speak to the belief of the fool regarding who God is. Psalm 14 tells us, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Romans 1:22 tells us, those who do not believe in God, professing to be wise, they became fools. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but a fool despises wisdom and discipline. And listen to Jeremiah 4:22. The fools are not always out there. My people are fools. They do not know me. They are senseless children. They have no understanding. They are skilled in doing evil, and they know not how to do good. This warns us that there are fools in the church. There are those who do not know God, yet think they do. There are those who do not know God yet claim they do, but they are deceiving themselves and are fools, only fooling themselves. We are not to walk as fools. We are not to walk as these examples that you heard of unbelief. So if that is what a fool is, and that is what a fool believes, and thus by these things he determines how he walks, then what is it to walk as wise? We could just quickly say, well, to walk as wise is to just reverse what the fool does and don't walk as he does, and that would be correct in some extent. It would be to build our house on the rock as the wise man did, to have faith in Christ Jesus, to hear and believe, to fear the Lord and not despise wisdom and discipline. To be like the ant and take care of business now, all your business. Not just finances, but all your business and your relationship with the Lord. To prepare for the future. Throughout Scripture, man is contrasted with the foolish one. The wise man is contrasted with the foolish man. And it would be a great study for all of us to pursue it if we had time. I can tell you that if you were to open up a concordance and you looked up any verse, any word that had to do with wisdom or foolishness or wise or folly, and you would be hours and hours studying that. And wouldn't it be great if you had time to do it? But isn't that the thing? We have time. The question is, how do we use our time? Because that is the one thing that we all have equal amounts of right now. Each and every day, each and every one of you have equal amounts of time. It is simply a matter of how are you going to use it, as fools or as wise people. And it's this very thing that Paul connects to walking wisely in verses 16 to 17. In Christ's light, we are to walk wisely, redeeming the light. Listen to this. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. In Christ's light, you are to walk wisely by redeeming the time. That's how you do it. That's how you walk in wisdom, by redeeming the time. And this is the will of the Lord. This is the will of the Lord, that you redeem the time in these evil days. This gives us the idea that there is a certain amount of time that you are given. And since you are given the wisdom of God in Christ Jesus upon your salvation, redemption, and sanctification, you are accountable for what you have been given. You are not free to just spend your time however you see fit. You are accountable to redeem the time, for the days are evil. You have been given wisdom from God. Colossians 2:3 says, in whom, speaking of God and Christ, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's what you've been given. And you're to be redeeming the time that you've been given. Wouldn't it make sense if you've been given such a gift of wisdom in Christ Jesus, that you would use your time wisely according to that gift? And so what about your time? Are you using it wisely? Will you be able to stand before the Lord, and you will stand before the Lord on Judgment Day, to give account of how you used all His gifts? Not for the matter of salvation, but for the matter of how you walked in that salvation. We will be rewarded for the things we knew and the things that we did according to that knowledge. And that will include how you have used the wisdom of God and your time. Every day of your life. As we sang Psalm 90, verse 12, it told us, teach us, Lord, to number our days. Why? So that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Wisdom teaches us to redeem the time, to make good use of the time we have in this life, and not just time in general, but your time. Your time. How do you use your time? The time that the Lord has given you. Your numbered days. They are numbered. There is this line out there in the world. There are movies and books, and it's all something to do with the bucket list. what I want to do before my time is over. God calls you to redeem your time today, to make use of every day. We don't know when that time will be. Here in this passage, the word redeem means to reclaim or rescue. What needs to be rescued are your days, your time, because the days are evil. You need to go and grab them back, and you need to get them. And you need to make use of every opportunity you have, every moment you have, to live a righteous and wise life before God. To rescue your time in these evil days is to take every opportunity to live for Christ. To not be negligent. And not to say, well, for the rest of this day, I'm just going to do what I want. Or I'm going to do nothing. I'm going to waste the day. We are to redeem the time that God has given to us. And so I would like to ask you, are you redeeming the time? Are you making good use of every day that God has given you? For those of you who are married, are you using the time that you have to help your spouse? To help her in her time use. To help him in his time use. And what of your children, parents? Time with them will soon be gone. And whether you can believe it or not, those who have children and have seen them grow up and move on know that to be true. That it will be gone in a snap. And if you do not redeem your time with those children, you will not know them and they'll not know you. They'll not know you as their godly parents if you do not spend time with them. And what of the lost? Do you have time for the lost? Do you have time to pray for the lost? To pray that God would give you opportunities to develop a relationship with a lost person that you may share Christ with them? Do you have time for the church? To use your gifts that God has given you to minister to the body of Christ. All of you. For you single people, how are you using your time? As a single person, right now you have more time than you're ever going to have once you get married. Right, parents? Right, spouses? When you have children, when you get married, your time changes. How are you using your time? And for all of us, is your time with the Lord a priority in your life? God delights in you, wants you to spend time with Him, and delight in Him as He delights in you. He wants to teach you, to comfort you, and see you rejoicing in Him. Your time is yours to use, but you have an obligation to use it wisely. And there should be an urgency in your intentions to use what time you do have in service to the Lord. Redeem your time. We often think we have lots of it, but we don't know when that day will come and our time will be over. And the time will then be to stand before the Lord and give account of how you used your time. So use it wisely. Take and make every opportunity to redeem the time, because this is the will of the Lord. All throughout Scripture, we are told of people who ran out of time. When the flood came, those who would not believe God ran out of time when He shut the door to the ark. In the parable of the 10 virgins wanting to meet the groom, 5 weren't ready. The time had come, but they had no oil in their lamps. They weren't ready to meet the Lord. Even Jesus had a time limit on earth. In John chapter 9, verse 4, when He was about to heal the man born blind, He said, "I must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work." Our time is limited. Our time is limited in what we can do for the Lord. Our time is limited in how we come to the Lord. And you may be sitting here today and say, "Well, I've got time to come to the Lord later." And you don't know that. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to turn to God through Jesus Christ, seeking God's forgiveness through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Today is the wise man's day to take that opportunity to come to the Lord. This is the will of the Lord. There are some things we don't know what is the will of the Lord until His providence shows us. But walking wisely is not one of them. Walking circumspectly and accurately is something that we know is the will of the Lord. And so if God's Word is profitable for correction and training in righteousness, how will you hear this today? How will you leave this building having heard that you are to redeem the time? Well, let me suggest something to you. One way to hear this word today to redeem the time is to grab the opportunity on this Sabbath day, this day that the Lord has set aside for you to rest and draw near to Him, and to ask the Lord if you are using your time accurately, if you are redeeming the time, if you are living according to His wisdom. To do that, to take inventory, to examine yourself, to examine your schedule, even to examine your life just for 1 week. Say, Lord, did I use my time wisely? Because that 1 week is most likely representative of your normal life. And the Lord will hear you. And the Lord will show you how you must and should be redeeming your time. So take inventory, even today. Don't let the day pass without looking at your life and asking the Lord to show you if you are walking wisely. Are you redeeming the time? That'd be a good way to use your time today. May the Lord help us to redeem the time, for the days are evil, and this is the will of the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we do recognize, Lord, our weakness, our negligence in the way we use our time. Confess it to you, Lord, as sin where it is appropriate in our life, asking you to forgive us and to guide us in wisdom's way, showing us, Lord, how we may redeem the time in these evil days. Grab the opportunity to live every moment for you and your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we can get pumped up and we can be fired up about this, but we still can't do it without your help. So we ask that you would strengthen us in the inner man to do these things, which we know are your will. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.